Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's go to Julie Busso for Friday Food now. Julie is the mastermind behind Shared Kitchen, a great website. You should go and browse for food ideas if you haven't done it yet. Hi, Julie.
Yeah, hi there. So you're down in Wellington?
I am. Had some dinner last night, had some good coffee this morning, and just lovely to be back in what was actually my home for 8 years. Have you ever lived down here?
I did many, many, many moons ago, and only for about 6 months, but... I did love it. I didn't love the wind, like most people. But, in the last, I suppose, 20 years, every time I go to Wellington, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
It's changed.
I'd like to say that that was the case today, but it's just how I remember it, unfortunately. How's things on Waiheke Island?
Well, we've had two absolutely dreadful nights. A lot of my planting, I had this amazing sage plant, and it's just got knocked down. It's just split in five little pieces, and lots of pot plants rolling around, and just crazy. And a big olive tree I've got in the pot, that got knocked down. But right now, and in the last, as of the last 2 hours, it is so hot and so sunny. Can't believe it. Yep.
Yeah.
So it just cleared. All that destruction, all that wind, it was the wind more than rain, really, really brutal. And it's just gone. And now it's so hot, I can't cope.
Our sage plant went ballistic this summer, and they're actually quite architectural when they really go for it. Like, they become very, really decent size.
Yeah, they're really amazing. But it'll probably come away again. So, yep, like all those things.
What are you looking at cooking us today?
Well, I know it's school holidays, and I sort of scratched my head to think of something I felt like doing along that line and didn't really come up with something. And it was so grotty yesterday, and I really felt like savoury, really savoury food. And so I happened to have all these ingredients, chicken breasts, good bacon and shallots, and it made me remember a dish that I used to do. You know, back in the day when you got chicken breasts, they always had the skin on, and people were always grizzling and saying, oh, I wish you could get skinless chicken breasts. Well, that's about all you can get now.
Yeah.
You try and find a chicken breast with skin on that you could stuff, you know, your little herbs and stuff underneath. Really hard. So my original recipe did have the skin on. I changed it so that we can do it without the skin, because that's likely what most people will find. And it's just really tasty and savoury. And I just thought, good for autumn and, you know, get a few autumnal vegetables around the side.
Yes, please. Yeah, Brussels sprouts are beginning to show up in shops, aren't they?
Yeah, most definitely. And in fact, they have had a little bit of frost, and so they're always better after that first bit of frost. And so they're nice and tight and firm, and that's really good. And if you've got family who don't like Brussels sprouts, you know, because that hangover of the smell, or maybe you've overcooked them once and they don't like them. But if you get really fresh ones, then you can make a salad from them. And it's a good thing to have this in mind, because sometimes Brussels sprouts are really cheap and really great. Sliver them up, dress them with a garlicky, mustardy dressing, a few segments of mandarin in there to give a little fresh, bright note, some chopped walnuts on top, and you've got a fabulous salad.
Love it.
That'll go with anything.
And they go much further than you think they're going to when you shred them too.
They do.
Three or four of them will almost be enough for a salad.
Yeah, and the good thing is that they're not as coarse textured as cabbage, so it's the same kind of idea that you could do with cabbage, but they're more tender, and so children are more inclined to like them. And you put that little orange segments or mandarin segments in there, and they've got that little sparkle of colour and that juiciness, and it really works. I think it's a great idea. I'm not suggesting that with the chicken breast, though.
No, so... Okay, so this has got quite a straightforward name, chicken breasts with bacon and shallots.
Yeah, exactly. Tells you what it is.
Yeah.
didn't need to fancy it up. So the first thing you want to do is a frying pan, if you've got one that's got a metal handle, so it can then go in the oven, that's ideal. Otherwise, a casserole, shallow casserole dish, something that's wide enough to fit all your chicken breasts in one go. And again, with chicken breasts these days, some of them are just so huge. I mean, you know, they look like a turkey breast. So depending on what you find, you try to get them all the same size. It could be four larger ones over 200 grams each, or it could be six smaller ones. Mm. It depends, but you know how many people you're feeding. And I used to say one chicken breast per person, not anymore. Slice them up and you can make them go a lot further.
Yeah.
What is
your sort of rule around protein? Like what, 200 grams per person, something like that?
That's absolutely maximum. I think also if you can slice meat, it looks more on the plate, and so it's psychologically you think you're having more.
Good.
And get some other, you know, an expensive form of protein in there with it, some nuts and stuff in your salads or in your vegetables, that kind of thing. But it used to be about, you know, I'd say less than 200, 180 grams per head, but that's going back a long time ago. Mm. New Zealand's such a meat-eating country. it's good to cut back, and it saves the budget too.
Of course.
So, yeah, depending how many you're feeding, four to six chicken breasts. But the first thing you do is with your frying pan or your casserole dish, heat that over medium heat, drop in 2 tablespoons of butter. So it's chicken breast is going to be cooked in butter, but we're going to get some fat that comes out the bacon. 125 grams of thickly sliced free-range New Zealand bacon, just roughly chopped, 200 grams of shallots, because I never specify how many shallots because they're all different sizes. 200 grams, peel them and cut them through the root into chunky bits. So your bacon and your shallots into your frying pan with your 2 tablespoons of butter. Sizzle that away. You'll get some fat come out of the bacon and that'll help prevent the butter from burning. You want to get really good colour on this because you get the caramel flavour from the shallots. So just keep an eye, keep on stirring that around and sort of squash the shallots a bit so the layers open a bit because you want to get them cooked through. So shallots, we know, cook much more quickly than onions. So that's why they're good in a dish like this because they can cook through in 7 to 10 minutes. Once you've got that bit done, just transfer that to the pan. You'll have some lovely pan drippings there. Add another tablespoon of butter, put in your chicken breast, the smooth side down, that was what was the skin side, put that down in the pan and let the chicken breast get a really good golden colour because that develops flavour and it also is more appealing, obviously, to the eye. And when they're nicely browned, flip them over, season with salt and pepper and a little bit of dried tarragon, about a tablespoon of dried tarragon. If you've still got some fresh tarragon in your garden, I did until the storm came. It's gone. It's gone all brown. So we're into the dried, but dried tarragon works very well. Good sprinkle over that. Then 1/2 cup of dry white wine. If you don't want to use alcohol, then use chicken stock. Pour that around the chicken breast, not over them, otherwise you're going to wash all the seasonings off. So just pour that around the chicken breast, then into the oven. This thinner chicken breast, under 200 grams, 12 minutes. Oven preheated to 190. For bigger chicken breasts, 225 grams plus, allow 15 minutes. And you do need to check because it's chicken and you want it cooked through. You want it just with a tiniest little hint of blush through there and it will just, those last few minutes while you're dishing up and slicing that kind of thing, it'll just cook through. Don't overcook them. They're just so beautiful when you get them just perfectly cooked through. And so it's an easy way because if you're doing them all in the frying pan, it's really, I think, the chance of overcooking them are greater. So when you're cooking them in that gentle heat, you've got a little bit of steam coming up from your wine or your stock. It does help keep the chicken breast nice and moist. So that's it, basically. Onto the chopping board, rest them for a couple of minutes, put your juices in that your pan back on the element, let that bubble up, slice the chicken breast quite thickly, serve them up, the shallots and bacon over the top, the juices, spoon of that over the top, and your last little ingredient, if you have it and if you like it, and I think it works really well in here, is a little drizzle of pomegranate molasses. So that brings in a little sweet, sour note, and it's just delicious with all those umami flavours.
Yeah, not the first time lately that pomegranate molasses has come up on this show, and I did get a message from someone saying that they didn't have it in their local supermarket, but most decent sized supermarkets you'd be able to find it these days, and there's a lot of stuff that goes well with, right?
Yeah, I think it's a really magic ingredient because it does just have a little boost of flavour. So anything that could take a little sour, just a little sharpness, it's going to work really well with it. You know, a bottle will last a long time. They tell you to refrigerate it once it's opened. It kind of tends to, to crystallise, that's the word, in the fridge, which is very annoying. But bring it back to room temperature and it loosens it again. But if you don't have ants, it'll keep in your pantry perfectly well. That's where I store it. Use it on any of those kinds of things when you want just to give a boost of flavour. And with this dish, I would go traditional and a good potato mash and some Brussels sprouts with it. Or you could do broccoli or broccolini, any of those kinds of things.
We've talked about mashed potatoes before. We won't go into it here, but any like brief thoughts on good mashed potatoes?
Nice, hot. I like to make them with milk. I know some people add oil. I like them the traditional way, so must be hot milk. If you add cold milk to your puree, it goes gluggy. Hot milk helps keep the air in the puree and keeps it light, so that's really important. And way more seasoning than you think, way more salt than you probably think you're going to need, because that gives it the flavour. Don't worry about your arteries, Jesse.
Yeah, thank you. Good advice. Hey, what a lovely recipe. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Enjoy your rest of your stay in that beautiful city.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.